want you to take your Bible, please, and turn it to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. It'll take me just a while to get there. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. Let me also tell the church that Mr. Johnny Saylor is going to be having surgery on Monday. So let's be much in prayer for him, that the Lord will bless in that surgery and that it'll be a success. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. Believe it or not, I'm going to start something else tonight. And I'm good at starting things, you know, and we keep it going. We've got three series going, and I'm going to start a word study tonight that's been a real blessing to me, and I trust this word study will be a blessing. Now, God willing, I'm planning on giving this particular word study on Wednesday nights until we get through with it. And I'm not exactly sure how many Wednesdays it'll take. It's probably at least three, maybe more, I'm not sure. But anyway, we want to follow the Lord. This is the thought, I just can't get away from it. And I want to be a preacher that's going to preach what God lays on my heart. And this is something that He's laid on my heart to give to you. I did a word study a long time ago on the words, He is able. He is able. So that's the title of this word series, this word study, if you will, that we're going to be beginning tonight. On traveling through the Word of God and finding that phrase, He is able, or God is able. And we're going to look at these things that the Word of God identifies that our God is able to do. And it's a blessing thinking about this. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you on He is able. Our Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. And I thank You for the exalted privilege that You've given us just to be able to gather in a country that is free. And I pray that You help us not to take that for granted. I pray that You help us now with this word study. May You guide our thoughts. May You lead us. May you preach through me, teach through me, and may You build this church for Your glory and honor, I pray. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel, I pray, in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Word of God, we see the Lord God of heaven put on display for us to see. As a matter of fact, every book of the Bible is about God. And every book of the Bible is about just how wonderful He truly is. Now, one of the many things about God put on display in the Word of God is His attributes, His characteristics, His qualities, if you will. Now, among His many attributes would be that He is faithful in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He is love in 1 John chapter 4. He is gracious in 1 Peter 4. He is merciful in Psalm 136. We looked at that on Sunday morning. He is just in Isaiah 45, and on and on and on we can go. But you know, one of the great attributes of our Lord, all of them are great, but one of the great ones is that of His ability. You know, several days ago now, several months, matter of fact, I don't know when I put this together, I began to do a word study on the words He is able. Now, this study has been a blessing to consider. After all, He is my Lord, and He is my Savior. And if you're saved tonight, then everything we go over tonight and beyond about His ability, we're talking about the ability of your God, the ability of your Savior. And through this, we see that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too hard for our Lord. I don't care what you're going through or where you are in your life, the message is the same. He is able. I'm glad that's true tonight. I'm glad no matter what's going on in my life, I don't care how big it may seem it is, I don't care how deep of a valley it is or how high of a mountain it is, our God is able. He is able. There's a little chorus, and you know, I'm sure you know, it says, he's able, I know He is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Sing it with me. He's able, I know He is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the broken heart, and He set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and the cause the blind.
blind to see. He's able, he's able, I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Folks, do you believe that tonight? You know, it's one thing to say you believe it. It's another thing to really trust it when you really need it. Now, am I right or wrong? We're going to look at this together. And you're in 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. Look at verse number 1. The first thing we notice that he is able, number 1, to give thee much more than this. He's able to give thee much more than this. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. Now, let me just tell you what's going on here. He's gathering troops for a battle. And in this, he's hired certain troops. He's hired them for money. Now the man of God says, send them home. Don't go. Because if you do, you're going to get beat. Now notice how he responds in verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? In other words, he's worried about the money it took to hire this army. Okay, notice the answer. And the man of God answered. Here it is, number 1. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Now, what I'm looking at here, point number 1, he's able to give thee much more. The Lord, right here, he delivers a message to Amaziah that the men he hired would cause him to be defeated. Therefore, he was not to allow them to go. Now, Amaziah was concerned about the money he had given to them, and it was going to be an expensive proof of obedience that he was required to make here. Now, God here, who is the Lord of the whole earth, he has the whole earth at his disposal. And everything which it contains is right at within his hands. I mean, every beast of the forest and all the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the silver and all the gold is his. Psalm 50 verse 10, Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. See, the Lord could, at once extend the dominions of Amaziah to the widest bounds promised to his children. In other words, Amaziah here was concerned that he was losing something if he obeyed God. And yet the man of God said, wait a minute, if you obey God, he is able to give you much more than you think you give up. Now this is a major thought right here. And what this thought is this. There are people today who are not obeying God because of the sacrifice that they think it would take. Well, I might have to give that up. You ever heard it? Well, I might not be able to do that anymore. Or I might not be able to go there anymore. What am I going to do about that? And if I sell out to God, what about this? And what's it going to cost me here? And I just don't think our bank account can take it there. And what about my boats? And what about my house? And Listen, none of those things are bad in their right place. But can I make an announcement? Whatever you have, if God wants you to do something and it takes a sacrifice, He is able to give thee much more than that. He's able to give you more than you have. Now, I'm not talking about money here, folks. I'm not talking about goods and materials. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God can give you more than money can buy. No doubt about it. This is major thought number one. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." You know, when a person is rich, it doesn't mean he's got more money than he knows what to do with. It means that God is blessing his life. And we understand here that the first thing he's able to do is he is able to make up any sacrifice that we make in order to obey what he's given us to do. Amen. I'm glad that's true. Secondly, turn over to the book of Daniel with me. The book of Daniel. Now I'm just going to go until I run out of time. Okay, Daniel chapter number 3. Now, anybody know what's going on in Daniel chapter 3? Sure, it's one of the most famous stories in all the Bible. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Now, I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture tonight because I want you to see it. I typically do not read a lot of scripture, but whenever I'm doing a word study, I like you to get the context, you know, what it's given in. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said, 'The king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery," I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right or not, "but dulcimer and all kinds of music," you can tell I'm musically inclined, right, "shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of all these instruments here, and ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve," here it is "able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose." Loose, not bound, loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing to read that. I mean, honestly, somebody ought to shout amen right there. I mean, wouldn't you have loved to have been there and seen that? I mean, here's Nebuchadnezzar, big daddy on campus. Here's his people come in and say, "O king, live forever. you have made a decree that anytime they hear these instruments, they're to bow down and worship your false image. You've got three rebels over here, King, and they refuse to listen to you. He gets mad. Bible says in a rage, he gets mad. He calls them in. Can't you just see him walk into his presence? Folks, they had another king in mind. You understand what I'm saying? They walked into his presence, and he said, I'll tell you what, boys, I'll give you one more shot. If at the time you hear these instruments, if you'll fall down, it'll be well with you. But if not, we're going to burn you alive. And by the way, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who is that God who's able to deliver out of my hands? They. So I'll tell you one thing, Nebuchadnezzar, king. Our God who we serve is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to do it. He gets mad. I mean, worse than he was. He has them bound. He has it heated up seven times to where the heat killed those who were taking them to the furnace. They throw three of them tied up in, and all of a sudden, the Bible says in haste he got up. He hurried. He said, wait a minute. Did we not throw three men bound? Yes, sir, we sure did, sir. Yes, that's true. That's a true statement, yes. Wait a minute. I see four down there, and they're not bound. They're walking around free, and the form of the fourth looks like the Son of God. Now, what's point number two? Point number two is this. God is able, he is able, not only to give thee much more, but he is able to deliver us. There's no doubt about this. Now, I've already given you this story here, and you know the rest of this story. How he calls them out, all these kind of things, they come walking out. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this is a powerful, powerful thought. And here's what I'm saying to you. You say, Jody, do you believe that really happened? You better believe it. That's a literal event that took place. And I believe it as much as I'm right here tonight. Now, I'm telling you, that really happened. And I'm going to tell you what I learned from this. We learned that whatever fiery furnace we may face, even in the midst of it, God is able to deliver so that the flames don't consume us. I'm telling you, 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's a song that says he's able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme to the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth remains. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. What furnace have you been tossed into? What is it that you have been thrown into and it's got you bound and in itself it can destroy you? What is it? There's all kinds of potentials. I am not naive enough to believe that in a crowd this size, some of you are in a burning furnace tonight. Do you understand my analogy? I'm talking about something that you did not choose for yourself. Something where you were thrown into it. And in itself, it can destroy you. Now, you listening? Whatever it is, God is able to deliver you. He's able, folks. I don't care what it is. That's easy for me to say it, right? It's another thing to believe it when you're in a furnace. Now, no doubt about it, some of you are in a furnace tonight. Rest assured, your God is more powerful than any burning furnace, and He can deliver you if He so chooses. Number three, you're in Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. Just looking at a word study now. Just showing you different times in the Word of God when this phrase or a form of it was used. He is able. God is able. The Lord is able. Those phrases. Number one, He's able to give thee much more than this. He's able to deliver us. Then number three, Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. King spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? A lot of my here, isn't there? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At that time, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, where he was honoring himself, you understand, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. Now notice this statement, and those that walk in pride. He is able to abase. Now, those first two are encouraging. This one is right in our face. Okay? Honestly, you know what the word abase means? It means to humble, or it means to put down. Nebuchadnezzar has learned a great lesson in these verses. If you'll notice at first, he said, look at what I have done. This is my doing, my kingdom. And as soon as he was puffed up with pride, a voice from heaven came down. Amazing. It came down. God still has to come down to meet man's pride. Amen. You take the Tower of Babel. When they said, let's build it up to heaven. You know what one phrase says in Genesis? It says, and the Lord came down to see it. Now think about that. He's lifted up. He's puffed up. He has pride. He's not giving glory to God. He's not recognizing that this position came from God. He's not giving honor to God as God. You're the one that set this up. You're the one that gave this. And because he didn't give glory to God and he was puffed up in pride, God took him behind the woodshed and humbled him. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll tell you what I've learned. Those who are puffed up with pride, he is able to humble. This is the king speaking. Now, what's the lesson we learn? Daniel 5:20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let me convert back to my teenage years just a moment. Now, I don't remember everything about this, but I'm just going by what probably took place. My junior season of athletics, it was football season, and we were getting ready to go play Sullivan Central that following Friday. I think this was Monday or Tuesday that the newspaper came to Daniel Boone. My mom might remember this. I'm not sure if she does or not. The newspaper came, and they did a front page article on me. Family tradition. Front page. Sports page. Of course, the picture was almost life-size of me, but some of you will get that. That's hilarious right now. You know, honestly, really. Now, I don't remember exactly, but I've got a slight inclination that my head might have got a little bit big that week. Front page. Look at me, you know. That same week, it was that week. Friday night, Daniel Boone, I'm the quarterback, gets in shotgun probably for the first time in school history. You know that's true, don't you, Brother Martin? First time. They snap me the ball, I drop back the pass. This is real spiritual stuff, okay, folks? I drop back the pass, and I'm looking, and it looked like the Red Sea parted. I'm talking about a running lane opened up. So I took off. I scrambled. I can still just about take you to the yard line where it happened. Almost. Sullivan Central High School. I'm going down, and there's a guy getting ready to tackle me, and I'm going to juke him. I'm going to fake him out. But I didn't see this guy coming from right here. You know where I'm going, don't you? And when I planted on my left knee to cut back, this guy hit me that I didn't see and took me back down this way. When I got up, my knee was bent like this. I couldn't straighten it. And I was hopping around, and I fell on my back. The trainer came out, and I couldn't straighten my leg. Finally, got it to the point, and I walked off the field. But the longer I sat, the bigger my knee got. That next morning, my knee was humongous. Make a long story short, I tore my ACL, I crushed bone, I stretched ligaments, I tore my knee all to pieces. I've had 3 surgeries on that knee right there. It knocked me out of the rest of my junior season football, knocked me out of all of my junior season basketball. I came back for baseball, I played, re-injured my leg that summer, had to have more surgery, knocked me out of my first 2 games of my senior season. Then my papaw, Paul, passed away, and that knocked me out of my 3rd game. When I came back, we were playing Tennessee High. They were number 1. We did beat them, by the way. But anyway, that's beside the point. Here I am talking about pride. God help me. You know? That come out wrong, didn't it? Sorry about that. Man. This is going over the internet, too. Sorry about that, you folks. Hey, I'm a human being, you know. But I say all that to say this. I look back at that time, and I didn't understand it. But I look back at that time now, and I think to myself, I believe God was humbling me. I believe God was showing me also. I think he was showing me also that he had something else he wanted me to do other than sports. I really do. I really believe he was using this to show me that athletics is not the direction he wanted me to go. But on top of it, I can personally testify that he who's exalted with pride, he's able to abase. He can take us down, folks. Any time he wants to. Now, I know that's not encouraging. But what that should help us with is 1 Peter 5, 6, where it says for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, folks, I may not get any further than this tonight, which is fine if I don't. Let me just talk to you here just a moment. Now, think with me. The Bible says that God hates pride. It's an abomination to Him. It makes Him sick. It makes God sick at His stomach. Not that God gets sick, you understand, but He's painting a picture. He says, I can't stand it. You want to see how small you really are? Have you ever flown? You ever flown in an airplane? Obviously, that's how you're going to fly. You're not Superman, right? Have you ever noticed? Sometimes when I fly and it's a clear day and we're below the clouds, not above them, but below them, obviously, you'll look down and you'll see 18-wheelers that look like the size of your finger traveling. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When we're down here, that 18-wheeler's humongous. We're here, and many times we live as if the world revolves around us. Do you understand that when we don't obey God, you know what we're saying? God, I know more than you. Now just call it like it is, folks. If God says do this and you say no, that's pride. That's pride. That's saying, God, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. We are nothing compared to the universe. And yet God has to tell us to humble ourselves before Him. Think about it. By the way, if you don't think you deal with pride, you just proved yourself wrong. Anybody says, I don't deal with that, you deal with it as much as anybody else. We all deal with pride. Every one of us deals with pride, thinking too highly of ourselves. Now, you know I know what I'm talking about. I deal with this. You deal with this. Nebuchadnezzar dealt with it. And God taught him a great lesson. And that is, even as the king, I'm talking about one of the most powerful people on earth, I, Nebuchadnezzar, want to make an announcement. God is able to take those in pride and to humble them. That's a powerful thought. But on the flip side of it, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God. And in due time, He will lift you up. Now, you have a choice. I have a choice. We either try to lift up ourselves or we allow the Lord to lift us up as He sees fit. Which one do you want? Look around the world today. All you got to do, and I'm not trying to judge anybody, folks. Please don't take this wrong. But all you've got to do is turn on an NBA basketball game. All you've got to do is turn one on and watch and see if there's pride running up and down the court. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And those people need to understand, just like I need to understand, that they don't even have feet without God. They don't even have air without God. They don't have hands without God. They don't have eyes without God. They can't do anything without God. And whoever is proud, He is able to take down. He's able. He's able. And this ought to motivate us. Not to say, God, get him, God, get him. That's wrong. That's ungodly, folks. You've missed the point. If it's like, well, that's good. Well, then God's going to take him down. Yeah, I'm waiting for that one. No, I'm speaking this to me. That when I'm tempted to think too highly of myself, wait a minute. Nebuchadnezzar said back in the book of Daniel, who's ever lifted up with pride, he's able to abase. God, help me not to lift myself up. Help me to lift you up. And it's interesting here that in verse number 30, he's lifting himself up. But after he learned the lesson in verse 37, now he's honoring God. Now, he's able. It's just a word study. You see what we're doing? We're just traveling through the Bible, bringing out different thoughts. We've noticed three of them. He's able to give thee much more. In context, he's talking about, okay, you, you, You have paid that money, but yet the Lord's told you to do this. And you look at the money and say, well, that's a great loss. But somebody says, wait a minute, no, he's able to give you much more than that. You get that? Secondly, he's able to deliver you. The burning fiery furnace, those three Hebrews looked that king right in the eye and said, I'm going to tell you something. You want to know who this God is? Our God is the one who's able to do this if he wants to, Nebuchadnezzar. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. He's able to deliver you from any burning fiery furnace. Thirdly tonight, whenever we have the thoughts to think too highly of ourselves, may the Lord bring Nebuchadnezzar back to our minds. And he said, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Powerful, folks. That's powerful. And may the Lord help us to leave tonight thinking, he's able. He's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen. Amen. May the Lord drive it on our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. And Lord, the more I study it, the more in awe that we need to be. Just at the magnitude of your word, the power of your word. Your word is inexhaustible. It speaks to us right where we are. And I pray that you help us with this particular word study that we've only just begun tonight. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives, to understand that if there's something you want us to do, that anything that we think it might cost us, whether it be money, whether it be materials, whether it be friends, whether it be a job, whatever, help us to always keep in our minds that when it comes to the will of God, you are always able to give thee much more. Secondly, help us to understand that any burning fiery furnace that we find ourselves in, that you are really able to deliver us from it. And help us to understand, Lord, that we are not big. We are small. And yet you died for every one of us. And help us not to be lifted up with pride, understanding that he who walks in pride, you are able to humble. You're able to abase. Help us tonight. May thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there something the Lord's wanting you to do? And maybe a thought's been run across your mind. I wonder if I do this, what I can't do any longer, or what am I not going to be able to do, or something like that. Can I echo point number one? He's able to give thee much more. Secondly, maybe you're here and you're in the furnace. You've been thrown in head first, and it's a hot place. It'll take you down if you're not careful. It can destroy you. But the form of the fourth that looks just like the Son of God, because that's who he was, you see, is in that furnace with you. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. If you're in that burning fiery furnace, can I echo point number two to you? He's able to deliver you. He really can. Maybe tonight, maybe there's somebody who just thinks too highly of themselves. Maybe you've noticed in your own heart and life, maybe your thought life, maybe nobody else knows this, but you and God know that you have a problem with pride, thinking too highly of yourself. May I echo point number three to you? Matter of fact, let's let Nebuchadnezzar, God included this in his word, but let's let Nebuchadnezzar give us some advice. What did he say? He said, I'll tell you what I've learned as a king. I've learned that he who walks in pride, he's able to abase. And may I challenge you, don't wait until God humbles you. The word of God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If God is speaking to you, maybe you're in a furnace tonight. You need God to deliver you. Maybe tonight you're dealing with pride. You need God to help you humble yourself before He humbles you. Maybe tonight God's telling you to do something. You need the Lord to show you again that He's able to give you much more than you'd ever be giving up. Whatever it is, if God's speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, would you come right now as he sings? Would you come on? Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
You can look this way. We're getting ready to dismiss. What's the one key thought that you're leaving with tonight? What is it? He's able. He's able. Now, we're only just started with what the Word of God says. But the key thought, you get it. There it is. God is able. Take that home with you. Chew on it a while. And ask the Lord to help you believe that. Act upon it. Okay? We'll go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers to their meeting. If you'll be dismissed, God bless all of you. Thank you. All the teenagers as well. Brother Bob needs to see you. If you want to go ahead and make your way downstairs, you can go out the back or down this side here. If you are a first-time guest, let me remind you to take your card out to the Welcome Center. Try to be here on Sunday praying for the services. And I'm working on another Bible mountain in my study. It's one that I've skipped over, and I found it in my devotional reading, and it is a great mountain. Good night. And I'm looking forward to getting to it on Sunday, you know. Praise the Lord for it. It's good to have Brother Seaman again, your dear wife, in the service. God bless you. Our privilege to have you here, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Very good. I'm going to ask Mr. David Fish, sir, if you wouldn't mind to pray. And ask the Lord to help us this week as we go out and about. Please remember the flyers to get them also on your way out so you can help us get the word out. God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening.